This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you all along. Big thanks to AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl. And yeah, we'll get him back next week because the indictment on Tuesday will have the details. Problem is, the smoke is, you know, out of the bottle too. I mean, can we pull back and have a bigger discussion here that's not partisan and say, is this a good thing for our republic? And we'll continue that conversation, I'm sure, for quite a while. My man, Dale Leash from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com, joining me now. Hey, Dale.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here, and a great read for y'all. You got to check this out. I'm checking out over at lanyapmobile.com. But lawmakers look to change the structure of state licensure boards. I think in this story, you're going to not only have the discussion of what they might do in the legislature, but you're opening some eyes to what these things are in our state.
I think the biggest takeaway from this is that, like many other things in government, the way that these have been structured over the years have allowed for some folks to make a lot of money and to have quite a bit of a profit margin in something that, you know, you might feel kind of silly about having a huge profit margin for. So to kind of break it down a little bit, a couple of our local legislators are Margie Wilcox, Representative Margie Wilcox, and Chris Elliott over in the Fairhope area. Okay, they're gonna look intently this coming session. During the session, at changing some of the structures of the licensing board, basically giving the government a little bit more oversight over the way that they are operated. And part of the reason for that is because we have a situation where these private, I'm going to use the term silos, which I think Chris Elliott used in the story. These private corporations come in and they offer their services to these boards, and they're like, we'll run these boards for you. You know, and they're obviously private companies, so they're profit driven, right? It's a situation where, you know, they may raise the license fee, they may raise the fines for not operating the way you should to a level that will give them the most profit. And it's really a conversation about, do we really want the state government to prop that sort of thing up, whereas other states like, namely Georgia, Florida, Colorado, places like that, they tend to be more, you know, state government oriented, where I would call what we have now is kind of quasi-governmental boards where, yes, because the government requires you to get these licenses before you perform these jobs, but short of that, the government has very little oversight over them. So that's kind of where what we're reckoning with now is, at what point, you know, how much government oversight do you want on these boards? And I think everybody's come to the realization that we don't quite have enough yet. So I think that we're working on trying to fix that.
You point out in your story, too, that I don't have it in front of me, but it's 20-some-odd. Here it is. Yeah, Elliot cited a study from Troy University that showed some 23% of the state's working population falls under some kind of licensing board.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. You think about it. CPAs, massage therapists, a lot of these other services these personal services.
Wait, hairstylists, right?
Hairstylists. Yeah.
Interior designers
now, and all. I did a story several months ago where I listed a bunch of them. But yeah, there are a number of electricians. There are a number of jobs that a lot of people have in the state that require a license. And so, you know, this affects a very significant number of folks, and I think that that's what's important here.
Well, and there are some of the things, you know, if you look at them all together, you can go, oh, well, gosh, but there's some of them you deal with somebody that has electrician, right? I mean, the work they do, you better be up to snuff, or you could have a fire, you could have somebody get electrocuted. Then, you know, the hairstylist thing, I don't get. Because if you get a bad haircut, you know, a month later, you're okay. You can recover from that.
Yeah, I think that has more to do with they don't want you, like, cutting people, I guess. But I'm with you. Like, I've never been cut by a hairstylist.
I haven't either.
Trying to get a haircut. So I hear you. Same with massage therapist.
Okay,
I
mean, that one seems, but you explain it some more, but that seems like, why the heck would somebody have to be licensed to give massages?
I mean, that's an interesting question. I think because you're touching other people, and you have a tendency, if you do it wrong, to, you know, cause somebody pain, discomfort, or even medical problems. I think that that's part of the reason why you have those, so that they, you know, you want certain folks to be insured and bonded, and you want some guarantee that they're going to treat you the way that they've got some expertise. They're not coming just off the street and offering you a massage. That would be strange, but maybe a little fun.
Yeah, but, I mean, seriously, but if somebody else wants to give somebody a massage, they can. I mean, I thought it was, you know, that they made it because people were using it as fronts for other touching activities.
I think is part of it as well. I mean, I think you look at it from a. I don't really want to get it all tied up into sex trafficking and stuff, because I don't necessarily think the massage therapy board should be getting their hands into that sort of law enforcement angle. Mm-hmm. But you know, I could see how somebody would, you know, if somebody's a licensed massage therapist, you could probably rest assured that they're not, you know, they're not doing, you know, anything illegal.
You write in the story that it, so you've got this push here for the state to have more say so over these boards. You also pointed out that it's, you said, Ivy, Governor Ivy formed a study group on efficiency in state government, according to Executive Order 727. But this comes through the legislature, right? I mean, it's not anything that, can the governor just dictate this, or they're going to have to?
No, her executive session will, I mean, her executive session, executive order will has formed the task force. The task force will send out a report, and I know Margie Wilcox specifically cited that report as a way to kind of learn more about, you know, what's going on and how the legislature can craft something that kind of brings some of those, what's in that report, you know, bring some of that report together into it. So I think that's, it's really going to be an aid for the legislators who are going to be handling this law. And honestly, I don't know if it'll pass this session. Chris Elliott, you know, it's Alabama. Who knows if it'll pass or not? You get a couple of senators together, and they can stop anything. So we'll see what happens. But I think that there's the fact that there's a push into this, and sort of a movement away from letting the private sector handle this and make profits from it, I think is a good thing for workers.
Just joining us, talking to Dale Leash from Landnap, landnapmobile.com. Another story I want to talk about before we wrap up. And so Mobile Council speakers, so people coming to, help me here, people who come to the Mobile City Council to speak, and Lord knows I watch the, I know you watch it in person, I watch the YouTube channel, and some of them are quite entertaining, but they must write in advance before a chamber appearance. Is this a big change to the current situation, or what do we need to know?
It's less of a big change and an amendment, and more of an enforcement of the rules that are already on the books, right? You and I talk about that a lot, enforcement of this and that, and this is what that is. So they just changed the rules last year regarding speakers, where they wanted you to, you know, they wanted you to have things written ahead of time so you could kind of explain what you were going to speak about and whether or not it had to do with city business. Because there have been times when folks have come up and complained about things in front of the council that the council really doesn't have control over. And I can understand, as somebody who writes for the city council as a job, or writes about the city council for a job, you can get kind of bogged down in the meeting when you're listening to things that they have no control over. So I understand that part of it. I think what folks are a little hung up on is that it does make it a little harder to speak, especially for I think there's some concern over, you know, elderly folks specifically,
right,
who may not be as internet literate as you and I are, or, you know, people younger than us even. So I think that's sort of the complaint that you're going to hear from folks. I also thought it was ironic that the council didn't take any public comment at the meeting about public comments.
There is a delicious degree of irony to that. So I mean, people could possibly, they could show up and be told, no, you didn't do it this way. You don't get to talk.
If it's so there's two caveats here, right? The first one is that's for like non-agenda items. If things are on the agenda that you want to speak about, you are free as long as you don't take longer than 3 minutes, you are free to talk about it to your heart's content. What we're talking about here specifically, what the story addresses mostly is items that aren't on the agenda that the council doesn't know are going to come up in discussion. So that this is a way for them to better prepare to answer questions, although a lot of times they don't answer questions anyway. So yeah.
Would you say
I
one
don't
word?
Really understand.
One word answers?
I don't know. I don't know how much preparation you need to say that's the mayor's problem or no comment, but that's, you know, it's what it is. It is what it is. I get it. Like, they're trying to, they want to be made aware of things that are happening. So I get it. But yeah, so that's, it's really, we're really talking about non-agenda items. As long as they have to do with city business and you write it in ahead of time, you can speak. And it's got to be like the Thursday before the Tuesday meeting. So it's got to be several days in advance.
All right, y'all check that story out and a whole lot more over at LanyapMobile.com or in the new Lany app. Tell folks about getting signed up for a subscription or finding the print copy out on the streets of Mobile.
Yeah, LanyapMobile.com is the website. You can subscribe through that. We have we have a way you can do it online. You don't have to, you know, you can do it and pay and do all that stuff yourself. That is where you get not only a digital copy of the paper, but all the breaking news stories that we have. All the stories that have been in the paper get up there too. So it's really the best way to do it. You can also get our paper at all of our purple boxes all over town, Mobile, Baldwin counties. Just check it out. We really appreciate the support. You know, it keeps us going every day. So thank you so much.
All right, and reminder too, you have Nappy nominations. When do y'all close that down? It's soon, isn't it?
I hope I'm right about this when I say April 2nd. I think it's April. So that's what, Sunday?
Yeah.
So you have till Sunday to nominate your favorite business for whatever categories are available now. They change a little bit every year. So I it's hard to keep track of over a 9-year period. But I think we have till April 2nd, and then the fun really begins with the finals that are going to be in May, starting in May.
Yeah, this is the general. Right now it's the primary, then we get to the general in May.
That's correct. We'll have a quick month-long breather, and then we'll be back at it.
As always, man, I appreciate our conversations. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much.
All right, Dale Weiss, Lanyap, LanyapMobile.com. We're coming right back. More Midday Mobile on this Friday.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you all along. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. On the telephone, dial it, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Here's the key to it. Big national company. You know the name. You see the trucks. But how about this? The owner, Trey Bennett, a buddy of mine, a homeboy, and has been doing it for 15 years in Mobile and Baldwin County. I guess he's coming up on 16 in Mobile and Baldwin counties and making junk disappear. Now, I've used them personally. So many people here at the station, we've used them for this radio station. The last thing we did is the storage unit clean out. That was a mess. Dalton's probably in there in his office right now, nodding along with me. A mess in there. The job they did of getting rid of the junk and then cleaning up afterwards. We got 100% of the deposit back. That albatross was off our neck, and it was a great event. Same thing with a home. If you need to get a home ready to sell, you get the last of the stuff out of there, or you just got junk piled up, right? You used to have a guest room that turned into a junk room. Like, it's okay to have a junk drawer in the kitchen, you know, where you pile the stuff that kind of all the other stuff goes in. Just don't have a room like that. And big projects, too. Big things in your backyard, storage buildings, trampolines, swimming pool, whatever. They can handle it. Give them a call. Set that appointment, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or go online and get your appointment there, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Set that appointment maybe for sometime next week. Friday's a good day to set an appointment for something you're going to do next week. All right, to the telephones, and David is in Mobile. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm getting better every day.
Good.
I hope as a part of this process that the legislature is going through with the occupational licensing boards, that they look and see at which ones are really needed and which ones they can do away with. Because like you said, why do you need an occupational license to cut somebody's hair or be a massage therapist or an interior designer?
Right.
They're going to tell you it's public safety. You know, you got scissors near people's ears if you're a barber and touching people's backs if they're a massage therapist, yada, yada, yada. But if you require insurance and bonds as a part of being in that profession, the insurance companies are going to make sure that the mm-hmm. people that are in those industries are educated and know the safety rules and are as safe as possible, because we all know insurance companies don't make money by paying claims.
Right. No, and they will have that added, you know, if it's continuing education or whatever. You're a good point. The insurance company will force that. If you want the lower rate on your insurance to do whatever it is, you will, you know, you'll do those things. You'll check those boxes. And there are some things, though, like I think you made mention of, that I do agree with having, you know, licensing boards in. So, my libertarian stripes are not always perfect on that. There's, you know, if you're you have a fiduciary duty, or you're in the medical field, or you're an electrician, or you're building something, then those, I can handle it.
Yeah, I will say this. I'm glad the heart surgeon that did my open heart surgery a couple weeks ago does have a medical license from
right.
the state of Alabama.
Yeah, not just somebody said, I think I can do it. I could probably do it for half the other guy. Come on, okay, come to my house. We'll put you up on the kitchen table and do it.
Nope, I got a guy that's one of three people in America that's approved to do heart surgery on the president. So.
There you go. Nice choice. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you as always, David. Leaves the line open at 343-0106. A lot of commentary here on the conversation I had at the beginning of the hour with Congressman Carl. There's two things going on. I get y'all. I mean, believe me, my reaction to hearing the indictment yesterday was there's a reaction there that goes, really? Really? This is what the Democrats are going to bring? But there's a secondary part of this that, beyond all these things, I'm an American. And get the politics out of it for a second. If this is the way we go in our country, to where you use the party in power will use the judicial branch or the police force, air quotes around that, the police force of the state, the republic, use that in this case, you know, New York district attorney, but obviously influenced by the National Democrat Party and that push there. If you use that to politically punish or judicially punish political opponents, it might feel so good if you're as such a pundit, you're like, yeah, we got one of them. But what does that do long term to our country? Jeff's been talking about this a long time. And at first, it took me a little bit of time to decipher out what he was saying, because he was even talking about specifically going after President Biden. You got to make sure it's something pretty darn big and very provable. Because if you leave it open to things on the edges here, like they're talking about in this case, you will chill the desire to try to change anything in this country politically. Because as soon as you're out of office, then you're going to pay the political or the judicial price for a political decision. Smoke's out of the bottle, huh? Pretty worried about it. All right. Hey, my friend Bryant Knight from Team Fight or Die joins me coming up in just a few minutes. Cool event coming up. You like the Kentucky Derby? Yeah? Well, you want to watch it and do it in style? Oh, he's got an event for you. He joins us next.